Hey everyone, welcome back to The Score. This is Taylor Vollen. So Chelsea is out vacationing. We are very jealous, of course, and asked me to step in for this week's episode, which just so happens to feature our new Cinch Timed Event champion, Taylor Santos. Taylor topped the 2026 CTEC with a time of 351.7 on the Ironman's 25 head for the famous 100 grand, making his second Ironman title. If you'll remember, he was the 2020 champ as well. But a lot of people, myself included, were pretty moved by Taylor's story. Taylor last competed at the timed event in 2023, and in the 2 years since then, he stepped away from competition and underwent three surgeries after trying to manage pain that had lingered for years. I think most of us knew that Taylor was out of competition for the last couple of years, but hearing his story firsthand was pretty interesting, and so I don't want to spoil things for you. You're just going to have to take a listen to this episode, which is brought to you by our friends at Fastback Ropes. Fastback Ropes has long been a supporter of so much that we do here at the Team Rope and Journal, so we are so grateful for their support. But like I said, Taylor talks about a lot in this episode. He talks about what the last 2 years of recovery looked like, how encouraging and helpful his wife has been in his rehab, his horsepower at this year's timed event, and so much more that I promise you're not going to want to miss.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you so much.
Now, give us the rundown. What have you been doing the last 2 years? Where have you been? It's been 2 years since you've been here?
Last time I came was 23. I took 24 and 25 off. In 24, I was planning on coming, and I went and saw Tandy about my hips. They'd been bugging me since the NFR in 21, and I tried to just kind of battle through it for a couple years. And went and saw him. He took some images, and I actually flew to Yuma, Arizona. I flew into San Diego to go to Yuma. They have tripping, so I got to do both events. And I was play long, and I was sitting there having lunch at some seafood, and Tandy's office called me and asked me what I was doing. I told him I was going to a rodeo, and they said enjoy it because it's your last one. And so after that, we started physical therapy and went to flying to Nashville. And Dr. Bird did such a good job. He wrote the book on that hip surgery.
What hip surgery was it?
It was very similar to like what Shad had. Mm-hmm. He had the microfracture. I didn't have the microfracture. Mm-hmm. But both my labrums were shredded, torn up, so they had to suture those back together and go in there and clean up all the spurs and stuff, everything that was giving me impingement. So they make you wait 10 or 11 weeks in between surgeries. So hey, you do one and then you start doing physical therapy, and my knee had bugged me, but a lot of times it's common after you get the hip surgeries that your knee doesn't hurt anymore. So I went ahead and did both hip surgeries and was rehabbing, and it felt fine at the house. And then whenever I went back to roping, it wasn't but like the third day my right knee went to being sore again, and so I went back to Tandy and took more images, and then he had a torn meniscus. There wasn't much left, and there were some cysts in there, and so he decompressed the cysts and fixed my meniscus, and back to physical therapy I went.
Was returning here on your radar during that time?
There was times during it that, yeah, whenever you'd be sitting on the bike or the elliptical for 45 minutes or an hour, and you know, you're trying to motivate yourself because it can get so monotonous, and yeah, you would think about it, and then there'd be other days where you didn't know if you'd ever be able to compete at a high level again, and that would drift in. And my wife was so positive and just was on me every day about the power of the tongue and speaking positivity over the health of my body and being able to get back and be able to show Bo that you can come back from adversity and do great things. And I think that's the best part, or the most proud, that whenever I'm old and I'm sitting in my recliner, I'll be able to tell him that what I went through to come back and win it again.
Oh, you want me? I'm not so good at that, but I'll hold you. Come here. You're going to get sick of me. Hi. Okay, we'll do this. So tell me, when did it become a reality that you were going to come back here? When were you sure?
Dan started calling me He had a hip surgery too, so he kind of knew what I was going through with it. And I kind of put him off a little bit just because I wanted to give my knee plenty of time to heal and give my hips even a little bit extra time to heal. And so he would call me maybe once a month or every month and a half and said, I haven't roped any calves, but whenever I do, I'll let you know how it feels. Because this is such a competitive deal, and with the stock and the score here, you can't come at it 50%. So I had to make sure that I was going to be able to do it at a high level. And went to tripping a little bit last summer, and then I was actually staying at my in-laws in South Dakota, and they had some calves around there. And I decided to enter Cheyenne, and they drew me out due to qualification, so I didn't get to test it out. And then everybody gets into Pendleton, and so I entered Pendleton, and Paul popped a few calves around for me and let me tie some, and it started feeling pretty good. And then after I roped at Pendleton, I think whenever I told Dan, I'd be game on.
Gotcha. So when was your first bulldogging jump? Because I feel like there's roping calves and there's tripping and all those things, but
I don't jump any before I come. I shoot dog. I just catch them out of the chute. We ran so many steers at John W. Jones's house with him and John Sr. as kids. And after I had back surgery in 2015, that was kind of the end of my practicing. And before I came to the timed event in 2020, I hadn't jumped a steer in since 16 in college. And Will Byler was actually hazing for me at the college rodeo whenever I went to Sam Houston. And so now, like, I try to just keep a couple shoot dogging steers around, old tripping steers. Both of them were old tripping steers. One of my old tripping steers from Clay Long had an old tripping steer that had a bazillion runs on it. And I put them on the feeder and tried to bulk them up a little bit. And we just kept them with the calves and the steers and everything. And if we were team roping and bulldogging steer ran in, I'd just hop off the head horse or the heel horse and shoot dog and just try to get in the vibe of being able to switch disciplines and focus right away. And seems like that does a lot for my bulldogging.
So were you nervous at all? Did it feel different coming back this time after all that time off?
The first few weeks, I mean, we've been going at it for a long time trying to get ready for it. And at the beginning, it's so fun getting ready for it. And then get about 4 or 5 days out. And I don't think it's burnout, but it's just like you've been doing all 5 events every day for at least a month. And then it was good. Riley's girlfriend was up at San Antonio, so I kind of took 2 days off and just let my body heal a little bit. And then we got back after it for a few days, and then probably 2 or 3 days before, we mainly team roped and roped calves and didn't do as much other bulldogging and tripped a lot of steers.
Gotcha. So backing into the box though, round one, just old hat.
Yeah, I don't know. The first one always seems like seems silly at a 25 header, but the first one almost seems the hardest. And then because there's so much anticipation and haven't been back for a couple years. And so, but after the first heading steer, then you kind of get the feel back and you get the rhythm back and you break a little sweat and then you feel back at home.
Yeah. Tell me about your horsepower. Give me the full rundown. Whose horses were you riding? Tell me their stories.
The head horse was Chad Mathis's. I've had him at the house since November. Just been tripping steers on him for him. He had already tripped some on him, and I was just trying to get him further and along and took him to some jackpots for him and stuff. Hopefully have him ready for him to trip on this summer at the rodeos. And every once in a while on the steer horses, it's good to, I keep a bunch of jerseys around, and so I like to head on the steer horses and just be able to stand them up and have full control. And he felt so good roping those. I called him and asked him if I could take him to a couple World Series to get a good feel. And so actually we went to Hamilton and Stephenville, and I headed for Riley Wakefield in the 15s just to, because they still have the real barrier, not the World Series barrier, and tried to get the real feel for it. And then in the calf rope, and I started out on Gray Mare Chisholm Allen's, and she was doing fine, but I didn't have the feel that I wanted here. Our timing was off, and so after the second round, I walked over we were kind of parked next to Blaine Cox, and I walked over and said, I know I got to do something different. If you have room on the Buckskin, I'd love to get on. And he was gracious enough to let me on. And not that it was bad before, but it just seemed like a fresh new deal, just to kind of get back rolling. And so that was awesome. And then the healing, I bought that horse from the San Juan Ranch as a three-year-old. Clay Vollmer showed him at the Snaffle Bit.
That's awesome.
And he's just been around the house. Started him as a calf horse, and he was pretty good. And then just kind of got okay, like not quite rodeo horse, but just a good solid horse. And then decided to team rep on him a little bit. So I team rep on him a little bit. And then I kind of needed a steer horse, so I tripped steers on him for a while. And he's just a mainstay around the house. I think he's eight now.
Is he a CD Diamond? Or
he is a CD Diamond. Yeah. Yeah, he's a SJR Diamond Odysseus.
Got it.
And he was out of a good highbrow cat mare that won good. And he's just been cool to have around. I keep him around the house, and I'll rope calves, trip, team rep on him. And then in the summertime, I send him up to Colorado to my uncle, and he heads on him all summer and just keeps him legged up on rodeoing. And then the bulldogging, I've had my eye on that horse for years.
Really?
I hadn't rode him before here, but uh-huh. I've had my eye on him. Riley Wakefield won Pendleton on him, and I've followed him since that day. And Dankshire at Cheyenne last summer, I walked over there, and he had five or six guys in the semis, and I think two or three made it to the finals. Rowdy Parrott rode him, and I've watched so many runs of that horse.
What's his name?
Mario.
Mario, okay.
Mario.
And who owns him?
Alan Good.
Alan Good, okay.
And I would have to double check with Alan, but I'm not so sure that it's not the horse that his son won Cheyenne on.
Okay.
In maybe 24.
And who was Hazen for you?
Alan Good.
Alan was Hazen for you too. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. He aged for me, Riley Wakefield, and Quade Hyatt. We all rode that same horse.
Gotcha.
And yeah, that horse was awesome. And then the steer horse, that's Chisholm Allen's too.
Mm-hmm.
We rode him a little bit last summer. And then I've just kind of had him at the house since. And he's really coming to his own. I think they bought him at the Diamond of the Desert sale in Vegas. I'm not so sure he didn't come from the Wilsons. And I think he weighed 1480 or something.
If
whenever
they come from the Wilsons, they usually do. Yeah.
I think he weighed 1480 or something whenever they bought him. And he's just sure made a nice horse.
Mm-hmm.
They did a great job. Chisholm did a good job getting him started in the steer open, and we've kind of fine-tuned a couple things, and he was super reliable over here.
This episode is presented by Fastback Ropes. Fastback Ropes has long been a supporter of the Team Roping Journal, and we are so grateful for their continued support. Every rope that Fastback produces reflects their commitment to craftsmanship, durability, and performance, all qualities that Fastback knows are essential to the roper. Fastback's mission remains steadfast to lead the industry through innovation, quality, and customer satisfaction. Fastback Ropes is excited for the new opportunities this year holds and is committed to exceeding your expectations at every turn. Your success is Fastback Ropes' success, and they are honored to be a part of your journey. Learn more at fastbackropes.com, where you can order ropes, find a local retailer, download the catalog, or shop for gear and merch. Once again, learn more at fastbackropes.com.
You, that last round, talk me through, was there panic at all when you had to throw the second loop?
In the tripping?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
if there was in the heading too, I mean, you made the heading look pretty easy to do.
Yeah, it was kind of in the same spot, really.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of the same angle that I made both shots, but it did give me a little peace of mind. The second rope that I had tied on in the steer open was a Old Core King that I used in all 10 rounds at my first NFSR. So it was kind of a hug from an old friend getting to use it again. But no, I didn't think that I could drop down past maybe. I wasn't sure either second or third. And whenever I roped, and I'd been on the first four taking a swing or two over their back and just sure shotting them. And I don't know, I missed the barrier tick, and it just felt like I needed to be a little bit aggressive. And I guess wasn't the play, but can't change it now. And so whenever I grabbed my second rope at that point, it's almost a nothing to lose kind of, like, you need to try to make a shot.
Good job, homie.
Thank you, Bobby Joe. Kind of need to make a shot, and that steer wasn't great on the ground previously, and so I just did the best I could, tried to get it on his horns, and my trip was riding up, steer was gassing away from me, it kept crawling up, and so I kicked hard as I could, and then whenever I felt the tug, figured I better try to get a string on him.
Yeah. Did you know you had it done? Could you hear Justin saying, like, you got time? Could you?
It was pretty black at that point. I couldn't hear anything. I kind of gave it a little glance up at their scoreboard because I was right under it, and I couldn't see any of the numbers. And then whenever I got on, my audible came back, and I could hear. And wow, so emotional.
Yeah, tell me about the emotions. What was, like, where was it coming from?
Just everything. Just the surgeries and being gone for a while. Being able to share this one with my wife, Jordan, and our little boy, Beau Frank. That's so special. The pictures of him and I and Jordan up here, and the memories and the stories we'll get to tell him about this day. Just so much emotion, and then obviously the preparation. I mean, so much blood, sweat, and tears. And I mean, people don't really talk about it, but how much money you invest to get ready.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if anybody's checked the cattle market lately, but you can't just go to the sale barn and buy a $300 tripping steer or calf. You're liable to have $1,500 into either one or maybe $2,000 in the tripping steer. And so, yeah, you spend a lot of money, and it's investing in yourself, and it feels worth it right now. But yeah, I mean, there's some finances involved trying to get ready for it and trying to get all the horses lined up. And what about Jake Clay, though? Remember, I was back there last night, him and Coulter Todd had their horses tied next to each other. And, like, I'm a guy, you can't compare generations because of cattle and different things. But I walked up to him and I had one on each side, and I said, in my lifetime of watching it, you guys might be the two greatest switch enders that I've seen.
Absolutely.
Not that, I mean, I haven't paid enough attention, I guess. Maybe I don't want to leave anybody else out, but, like, those guys are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I trust Jake Clay with anything, and he made me feel like a healer.
Yeah, and he's been, I'm not saying he's out of practice with heading, but he's been healing.
But I mean,
but yeah.
Right before the first one, I was kind of telling him what our first steer did. And he said, okay, perfect. And I said, I couldn't have any more confidence in you, knowing that you won the BFI here in this arena with a long score. Mm-hmm. I said, this would be a cakewalk for you. So he was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And so cool that he trips. Like, he gets the whole deal. He's competed here. He made the tripping finals. Like, the guy is just so handy with his rope, has good horses. That horse he headed on, he rode at San Antonio at the steer rope another day, and he worked lights out. And the heel horse, he said here in the next couple of weeks he's going to start tripping on him. So just what a handy guy.
Absolutely.
Great right arm.
Absolutely. Now, you were talking about how expensive this is to kind of get ready for, and just cattle are pricey. What have you been doing? You can tell me, I'm not allowed to ask this question, but, like, the last couple of years while you haven't been able to rodeo, like, what has been the get by strategy? Obviously, Jordan is a boss babe, and she works her butt off.
Absolutely. It was wild, really. Whenever I found out I was going to have all the surgeries, I sold two or three horses and figured we better keep the rest of them as assets in case we needed some more light bill money.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit out and have... I had those three surgeries, and then I figured, heck, at this point, I might as well go get LASIK. So I went and had LASIK done just to make it a smooth, even four surgeries. But I sold a calf horse and a started calf horse, and it doesn't take long to burn through that kind of money. And then I got started late in the spring tripping and didn't make the finals. Came up a few spots short, and it was a little tight. Thankful that Jordan was working. After my knee surgery, I had my knee surgery 7 days after Beau Frank was born. And so, I mean, add all that together, it doesn't really pencil out. we sold a horse a couple months ago, and that kind of helped get us along. But yeah, I mean, the memories and all the things, but yeah, a huge financial day for our family too.
Yeah, 100,000. What did you do with it the last time? What did the 100,000 help last time?
Well, that year, COVID year.
Yep.
I didn't rodeo that year, but I started tripping that year, and so I bought that tripping horse, and of course you pay your help and mm-hmm. and all the stuff, and that would have been 20. The rest of it I ended up buying a calf horse in 21.
Gotcha.
That I rode at the finals in 21.
Decent investment then.
So yeah, that one was good.
Well, congratulations.
Pretty wild. The horse, the one top horse in the junior Ironman was my high school rodeo calf horse.
Nuh-uh. The man's, right?
The man's. Yeah, from Tehachapi, California.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I bought him at Rick Machado's horse sale.
Really?
In California. So.
How long has that kid had him?
I don't know exactly how
long. You
didn't
sell him straight to him?
No. Mm-hmm. I sold him as a trail riding horse.
Okay.
So, yeah. And he got a little age on him and got better in the box, and now he's winning on it.
Trail riding horses don't go for house buying money or anything, so that's phenomenal.
Yeah, I had one state on him and I one silver state on him one year, so I got two trailers out of him, but yeah, he kind of had my number in the box. I couldn't score him, and so yeah, I got rid of him, and I think he went through two or three guys and ended up with him, and he's had him. I think he rode him last year up here whenever he won the junior Ironman, so it's cool that somebody can have success on mm-hmm. on a horse like that.
That's wild. So. I don't know, it would be weird for me not to ask about your mom, but to get to share this with her twice.
Absolutely.
Tell me about it.
She's just been my day one, you know. And that's, I don't think you can even compare either win to, because you know, the first one was so emotional with my mom and my brother and my grandpa being alive still, and getting to know that. Just getting to know that he got to witness that and know about that. And it's just so amazing. I mean, they talk about whenever they were creating the event, that he was one of the guys that they looked at and thought that kind of guy would be good in an event like this. So just to be able to come here and just make him proud, it's so emotional, but you know, for different reasons with that. And then now to still get to share it with my mom and my brother being here, so cool that Lane flew in, and such peace that it gave me to have him back there in my corner. But then also to be able to share it with Jordan and our son, Beau Frank. And it's just unbelievable.
Well, I'm so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much for listening today to this episode with Taylor Santos. Even though Chelsea wasn't here, I appreciate you putting up with me being your host. Once again, we appreciate Fastback Ropes for all of their support. And if you are interested, you can learn more at fastbackropes.com to order ropes, find a retailer, download the catalog, or just shop for gear and merch.